Hello and welcome to Telling Stories. My name is James Trupany. This is a podcast where I look back on my wrestling journalism career and some of the articles on stories and interviews that I wrote for several magazines and websites down the years. Today, I go back into my history with Total Wrestling magazine and a feature I greatly enjoyed and greatly miss, Female Focus. When Darren Wood at Total Wrestling asked me to take over Female Focus as a regular contributor, I felt very honoured, and I took it very seriously because there was a lot of talent that I needed to nurture and to give as much space to as I could. And when we chose each candidate for Female Focus, we were very, very careful to give opportunities to people who'd been less well known or people who were just breaking through. Trying to throw something different with the way we dealt with Female Focus. We were trying to bring people to the fore who perhaps hadn't been before. And one of those examples that I'm very, very proud of that we did was Millie McKenzie. Millie McKenzie's had a fantastic year since we did this. It was about a year ago that I talked to her, maybe just a little bit over. I had seen her wrestle at King of Trios in 2017 in Wolverhampton, and I was absolutely blown away. Here was this young girl that could throw people about like there was no tomorrow, and she was 17 years old at the time. And she did not look out of place on a card that featured some of the best wrestlers in the world. In fact, Miko Satomura, the best wrestler in the world. And she would take a large part in Millie's life over the next 12 months. As Millie became a big star for Fight Club Pro, she started making appearances for Sendai Girls, for Pro Wrestling Eve, even the WWE, but Defiant would be a home for her as well. She became a big star in the UK, a big star in Japan, and this interview, even though it wasn't that long ago in the greater scheme of things, is really about a person that has grown so much in the last 12 months, and I'm incredibly amazed about that she could grow. She was already really, really good and one of my favorite workers on the UK scene, and now she's on a different planet, and she still has more to grow as well. So it'd be really interesting to go back over this piece and see what Millie said about her career. This is Female Focus, Millie McKenzie. To watch Millie McKenzie wrestle is to die a little. Fresh-faced and aggressive, she has a sure-footed approach that reminds you of Meiko Satomura, Kurt Angle, and Manami Toyota. Brutally intense, it belies her age. She hasn't finished her A-levels yet. James Trupany caught up with her one night while she was at training and tried to get the lowdown on British wrestling's fastest rising star. I first saw Millie McKenzie at the final King of Trios last year, tagging with a longtime training partner Omari in the annual tag team bonanza that is Shikara's tag team gauntlet. I had been primed that this young woman was something special by vaunted wrestling experts in the previous months. She did not disappoint. Since then, she's been everywhere. Progress, Defiant, and the aforementioned Fight Club Pro, and the weekend before we talked, she had to skip a Pro Wrestling Eve at Tetsujin Hybrid Wrestling, where she is due to fight Charlie Evans in that company's first female bout because of injury. That she's gone in straight to the top of the UK scene is not surprising when you see her wrestle. But I began her conversation at the beginning, and what made her as a fan in the first place. I just turned on the telly one day and it was on, and then I started recording it. Then I'd come back to it every month maybe, and then I saw CM Punk, and I just loved him instantly. That's when I started to follow it closer and get involved in the storylines. The Coventry native had been playing football to a high level at that point, but feeling bored of her training routine. I was kind of getting a bit fed up with that, and I wanted something else to do. Obviously, I'd become a massive fan of wrestling, and I thought, why not give it a go, really? So I googled places in Coventry to train, and I found Phoenix Wrestling Academy then in 2015. I started training. I was 14. They gave her a home base and her pro debut on the October the 17th, 2015. She also feels those early days are a big influence on her career. Obviously, TJ Starr, Killian Jacobs, and Psycho Steve, they were all the people who helped me right at the start, and I really appreciate that. She developed quickly in the last few years. She also moved on to training at Fight Club Pro. Now it's Martin Zaki, Travis Back, and Pete Dunne, especially Zaki and Travis, as they are the trainers at Fight Club Pro. I've been training there for a while now, and it's all down to them, so I can't thank them enough. However, one of the main advantages she has had is that she started so young. It definitely helped because I was so young. I had a lot of people looking out for me, and I still do have that now, and it's really nice to have that support. The Midlands has become a hotbed of wrestling, and particularly trainers for the past decades. Famously, Robbie Brookside started his own wrestling school in Leicester, which became the model for wrestling schools across the country. That family-inclusive approach that allows teenagers and children to start in the business at an early age has bore fruit in a generation of wrestlers that are ruling the roost in Progress, WWE, New Japan Pro Wrestling, Impact, and World Wondering Stardom. Stardom especially has used British talent, and Joshi offers a model for that approach. Paul Nakano and Meiko Satomura made their debuts at 15, were headliners at 19, and were aces of their respective companies by the time they were 22. When it comes to more up-to-date influences, Millie lists her colleagues at Fight Club Pro above all else. I'd say the people I train with, because I love all the people I train with. They are a great bunch and I love working with them. I've always loved watching Sammy Callahan. He's a big role model for me, and I got the chance to train with him not last year but the year before, which was incredible. Taking these influences on board and working with high-level pros as trainers has helped to develop quickly, but what may be more important are those high-profile matches. I asked her about her sudden rise, and she's humble to a fault. I don't really know what happened. It all really came out of the blue after I made my Fight Club debut in June. After that, everything kind of gone up and got better. I don't know what it is down to. I know I have been training more. I think the exposure for shows like Fight Club, Progress, and Chikara provided me with. It's opened more opportunities for me at other promotions. Of those big matches, her favourite occurred at Fight Club Pro. My ultimate favourite would be Project Mayhem Night 2 at Fight Club Pro. Me, Mark Davis, Kyle Fletcher, David Starr, Seaman, Mark Haskins and Jordan Devlin, and it was so much fun. It was the most fun I've ever had in a match. I really enjoyed it. But she also credits her friend and training partner, Omari, as one of her favourite opponents. They had a match at Fight Club Pro Infinity. Omari is one of my best friends in wrestling, and I always wrestle him at training, but we've never done it on a show. So finally wrestling him on a show, and it being Fight Club Pro, I really enjoyed it. Mixing up with the big indie names like Aussie Open and Dragon Gate legends like Seema also beg the question, how does she feel about intergender wrestling? She's perhaps the first of the new generations of stars where intergender wrestling doesn't really exist anymore. I don't know if other people think that as well, but to me it's just wrestling. Well, obviously it's slightly different, but it's all the same sort of stuff, so I just treat it the same. We are lucky that we are in this generation where opportunities are available there for us to take, and it's normal for intergender matches to occur. I closed out the interview asking her what her goals would be after she got off her crutches and her heels healed. She estimated she'd be back in action by next weekend. As for 2018, she wants to focus on that already stellar present. I want to try and get stronger. That's a big thing for me at the moment. I've always been quite small, and being like a young girl, people think, yeah, she's weak. I'm quite strong, but I'd like to get stronger and look more aggressive. The long-term goal, however, remains strictly down to earth. I'd just like to keep having fun, really. And obviously I'd like to do it full time when I finish school. I'd love to wrestle in America. I want to wrestle in Germany, America and hopefully Japan in the next 5 years. That is my aim. Do not doubt her. She's going places. And I have no doubt she will achieve those goals and much, much more. For now, she's one of the great wrestlers who will put a smile on your face with a pure love of the business. And that was a story on Millie McKenzie 12 months ago. Germany, America, Japan. It didn't take her 5 years. It took her 12 months. She is an incredible wrestler. This week, she won the tag team titles in Sendai Girls, a place where she's been a regular and already their junior champion. Millie McKenzie is something special because I've seen her wrestle so many times and do so many things at such a young age that she really does come across as a 10-year veteran. I haven't seen a naturally talented wrestler like this in a very, very long time. And hopefully, she's got a lot more achievements to come. That was Telling Stories for this week. Thank you very much for listening. You can find me at Sheriff Lone Star, and you can find the show at Troopany Show. The Troopany Show channel has lots of podcasts. There's lots of podcasts on wrestling history from the Troopany Show, as well as reviews of New Japan from the Troopany Show. There is also the Wrestling Rewind, which you can see the archive of on our channel, and we'll be coming back soon. The Telling Stories comes out every Tuesday. We try and pick something that's a bit different but relevant from our history, and we hope you've enjoyed the show. Telling Stories is written, produced, and edited by James Troopany. The music for the show comes from Sheriff Lone Star and the Deputies of Heartbreak, who you can find at Bandcamp/Sheriff Lone Star.